While the nitty-gritty of my preparations are probably uninteresting and do not really need to be shared, the point here is that I am creating a space, physical and psychological, to encounter God, to spend some time in deep with him and away from all the distractions. And I am creating an environment that is conducive to that process. It is the principle described from the 6th to the 9th editions of the Spiritual Exercises. I should not think of things that give pleasure and joy as the glory of heaven, the resurrection, etc. For if I wish to feel pain, sorrow, and tears for my sins, every consideration promoting joy and happiness will impede it. I should rather keep in mind that I want to be sorry and feel pain. Hence, it would be better to call to mind death and judgment. For the same reason, I should deprive myself of all light, closing the shutters and doors when I am in my room, except when I need light to say prayers, to read, or to eat. I should not laugh or say anything that would cause laughter. I should restrain my eyes, except to look up in receiving or dismissing one with whom I have to speak. Ignatius gives these additions in the context of the first week, when we are contemplating sin and the grace we are asking for is sorrow and shame for our sins. The general idea is to make our environments conducive to our prayer. So here I am. I have finished my work for a bit and prepared my environments and my mind to spend this time alone with God in these unusual circumstances. I am up to date and taking a pause from my journey with Julian of Norwich to be open to the process with the director. Am I concerned about distractions? About the world crowding in? Yes, I am. And I am already prepared for how I might handle that. It comes in the form of a story in Anthony de Mello's book, The Song of the Bird, called The Monk and the Woman. Two Buddhist monks on the way to the monastery found an exceedingly beautiful woman at the riverbank. Like them, she wished to cross, but the water was too high. So one of the monks lifted her onto his back and carried her across. His fellow monk was thoroughly scandalized. For 2 hours he berated him on his negligence on keeping the rule. Had he forgotten he was a monk? How did he dare touch a woman? And worse, carry her across the river? What would people say? Had he not brought their holy religion into disrepute? And so on. The offending monk patiently listened to the never-ending sermon. Finally, he broke in with, "Brother, I dropped that woman at the river. Are you still carrying her?"